Looking for a football show with a bit of a twist?
Ferguson has a knack for seeing maverick and, you know, kind of creative genius and sort of letting it flow.
Team 33, the football magazine show for the football purists. The very best interviews with the cult heroes of the past and a look at the cultural side of football. Team 33, live at 9 p.m. every Friday on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, it is exciting. We're on the precipice of a Manchester derby. You're very welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour this week. Every Friday afternoon at bang on 1:30, we pick our way through the carcass of the weekend's fixtures to try and pick some winners and give you some advice and sprinkle little nuggets of knowledge. That's what we're doing this week. We have Emmett O'Keefe from Paddy Power. Emmett, how are you? I hope your nuggets of knowledge are ready.
Yeah, plenty of nuggets, hopefully, just dreading the Manchester derby more than in previous years.
Enda, also a Manchester United fan, how are you?
Not too bad, Ger. Happy Friday.
You were telling everybody on Twitter last night this is a great season for Manchester United because we're way ahead of Liverpool and that's progress.
Well, I didn't say it was. I don't recall using the word great. I do recall using the word progress. Yeah, I think being 10 points ahead of where you were last season and being second in the table as opposed to, you know, fighting for top four on the last day of the season is progress as a United fan, you know. Give it another year.
Okay, let's wait and see. Okay, I want to tell you about this because we have a brand new segment. It's up and running. It's officially off to a good start and I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. But Near Miss is aimed at allowing some of you reclaim a losing bet stake. It's called Near Miss because if you nearly win a Premier League bet, if you have a single bet or an accumulator with Paddy Power and it's fallen down because of a dodgy VAR decision or a dive or a beach ball, then tell us about it and our dodgy goals commission will sit in judgment. It's all about the Premier League, so any losing bet that almost made it and you're feeling sore about it is a legit entry. Every week, our team will select a bunch of winners. Most will get their stake refunded back into your account. But for some lucky punters, we're going to pay out losing bets as winners when we feel they have deserved it. To enter, just after your bet doesn't come off, take a screen grab of your losing bet, make sure that it includes your bet slip ID, and then send them in to us. Here's how. Use the hashtag PPNearMiss on Twitter. A DM on Instagram will do. Or you can snap it to us on WhatsApp, 0879-180-180, and we will do the rest. So every Friday at the end of the Paddy Power half hour, we'll announce that week's winners. You can see all the T's and C's on the otbsports.com website and stay tuned to OTB Social for more details and, of course, reminders over the course of the weekend. So just at that moment where you're like, God damn it, then we'll come to the rescue like a white horse. Here's this week's Premier League fixtures for you. First off, Burnley against Arsenal. Then it's Sheffield United against Southampton at 3 o'clock. Villa and Wolves, 5:30, the Black Country Derby. Brighton against Leicester at 8. Sunday, it's a reasonable slate of fixtures. West Brom against Newcastle, Liverpool against Fulham at 2 o'clock, Manchester City versus Manchester United live on Off the Ball with Nathan and Kenny Cunningham on duty for that one at 4. Liverpool Fulham, by the way, is also live. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr on duty for that one. Spurs against Crystal Palace kicks off at 7:15 on Sunday evening. And then on Monday, it's Chelsea against Everton at 6. And at 8 o'clock, it's West Ham against Leeds. Ende, you had your own near miss last week.
Yeah, a couple of near misses, Jer. So we do our Paddy Power specials on the Paddy Power website every week. And last week we had four or more draws across the weekend. There were three draws and three 1-0 wins, including that farcical win for in the Brighton game with the free kick. And then we also had the penalty in Chelsea and United. We had the odds for that. And of course, Hudson-Odoi is allowed to hand the ball in the penalty area without giving away a penalty. So we had two near misses, but hoping for better results this week. When we're going with a couple of different bets this week, but hopefully one or two of them comes off. All you need is one. So 30 plus goals across the weekend. So that's across all the Premier League games. We have West Ham to score a set piece against Leeds, and we have a substitute to score in the Manchester derby. So that's any time goal scorer if a sub comes off the bench and scores a goal. And I think Emmett's going to take us through the odds there.
30 plus goals across the weekend.
Yeah, so we have that at 5-2. We'd expect that roughly to be maybe 25 goals scored this weekend. In terms of the Manchester derby, obviously City are probably one of the stronger benches we've seen in Premier League history, and we're short as 9-4 as a goal to be scored by a substitute here. And then probably I think the most interesting one would be we make West Ham short as 7-5 to score from a set piece v Leeds. It's the ultimate kind of strength v weakness clash here. no team has scored more goals from set pieces than West Ham, and no team has conceded more goals from set pieces than Leeds.
That's not a bad bet, Enda.
Bet. It's actually level when you look at the goals scored from set pieces. West Ham have scored 12 goals from set pieces, and Leeds have conceded 12 goals, and it works out at about 30% of West Ham's goals scored this year so far, and about 27% of Leeds' goals conceded. So it's actually a very interesting little nugget of information going into this game. But yeah, the likes of Suchek, top goals for West Ham this year. And you always have a chance when you have that sort of aerial threat. So going up against Leeds, I do think West Ham will actually score from maybe a corner or a free kick. So it's an interesting one, and the odds are pretty decent if you wanted to have a little nibble.
How do you define scoring from a set piece? So the ball comes in, it's headed on at the near post. There's a goal mouth scramble. It goes out to the edge of the box and somebody pings it in. Do I get my payout for that? Or is that too many people touch the ball?
I think that would probably be too many people touch the ball, but there is the whoscored.com would have those statistics. But I think we will be generous. Like, we're not going to if we can set it all as a winner, we will.
Okay. All right. So that's that one, and then the sub score in the Manchester derby. We've talked about that one too. So anyway, we want you to get involved on Instagram. You can tell us what you think is going to happen. We put up the odds. It's a win or lose essentially, so it's 50-50. Which obviously doesn't include the draws, but you can get involved on Instagram until 10 o'clock every Friday morning. And we've seen some of these votes be absolutely ridiculous in weeks past. We've seen some of them be, a little bit clairvoyant about how the results are going to go. So let's get through these fixtures. We're going to fly through a lot of these fixtures because ultimately this is one of the worst games, one of the worst weeks of Premier League matchups that we've seen, apart from, of course, the Manchester derby. So we'll spend a little bit extra on the Manchester derby this week. We're going to start with Burnley against Arsenal. And Enda, I believe this is you.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. It's one of the worst weekends of Premier League that we've had in a long time. So Burnley against Arsenal is not really that enticing of a fixture either to start it off. And what stage do we begin to think that Arsenal are not in the traditional top six anymore? At what point is that going to happen? Because they're currently 10th, and I don't think they're showing many signs at all of, you know, actually breaking into the top six anytime soon. Burnley, again, they're starting to pick up a little bit of form. They're not winning a whole lot of games, but they're not losing them anymore. So that's a bonus for Sean Dyche and his men. And I do think, looking at the average results home and away, both these teams are averaging about 1.3, 1.4 points, Burnley being 1.4 at home, Arsenal 1.5 away. So I think this one has a draw to start off the weekend, and it's not surprising given the fixtures.
What are the prices like, Emmett?
Yeah, so Burnley are 9-2, the draw 14-5, and Arsenal 8-13. I think that the gambling markets are starting to kind of really see some improvement from Arsenal. Arsenal would have been a 2-1 shot away to Leicester last week even, despite leaving Aubameyang and Saka on the bench, which market still allows for some home advantage. So that would mean the market would see Leicester, who are third in the league, being rated similarly to Arsenal, who are 10th. I think Arteta is really, he's even starting to get a tune out of the likes of Nicolas Pepe. And with Thomas Partey coming back into the team, hopefully maybe ousting Granit Xhaka, I think Arsenal are actually improving, and I can see them finishing the season quite strongly.
Yeah, I think, Enda, are they not longer a top six team or like one of the big six? That might have been good about 8 weeks ago, but now you're kind of going against the grain here with Arsenal actually improving.
Yeah, well, like they're playing decent football, but I think the thought process around a lot of these games would be that Arsenal go into this game as favourites just because of who they are and what they were 10 years ago. But Arsenal haven't been a good team in 5, 6, 7 years.
Burnley weren't great last week. I mean, you know, well, Gareth Bale looked like a world-class edition of Gareth Bale from about a decade ago against them.
Yeah, well, what I just mean is their reputation definitely precedes the football that they've been playing this year.
Yeah, and look, it has done since about 5 years before Wenger left. Sheffield United against Southampton. Can I get the prices for this? Here it is. The Saints, according to our Instagram pollsters, 60% believe that Southampton are going to somehow undo all of the evidence of our eyes for the last 10 weeks. And win this game. Can I just get the prices on this? Because I think that's going to inform how I would think about getting involved in the game. Sheffield United against Southampton. What are the odds, Emmett?
Yeah. So Sheffield United 13-5, the draw 12-5, and Southampton evens. Just one small note here, just to kind of back up what you're saying about Southampton here, given their struggles in front of goal. They rely so heavily on Danny Ings. He's at times scored maybe 50% of their goals in years past. and he's only scored 2 goals in 9 matches this year, and stamped intend to go as Danny Ings goes.
Yeah, and they're just in the middle of surfing the crest of a slump, would be the phrase that a former Southampton player would have used about them. I can't see any reason to be spending any money on Southampton. It's a reasonable punt, and a Sheffield United team who have been completely flaky when it looks like they're fixing things, they'll suddenly go and have a run of bad results. And obviously they had a historically bad start to the season, but there has to be some kick in them right now when McGoldrick played so well during the week and scored a goal, pretty rare thing. I just feel like Sheffield United are far better value for this game than Southampton are.
I would definitely agree. I think as well, it'd be interesting to see Southampton, a young centre-half who got absolutely dominated by Dominic Calvert-Lewin last Monday night, called Salisu. And if he starts against McGoldrick, I think McGoldrick can get plenty of joy there.
All right.
I definitely lean Southampton.
Okay.
Let's
move on. Aston Villa against Wolves, Enda.
Yeah, I'm not doing my Paddy Power special much favour here, but I do think this is another game that has very few goals written all over it. Again, Aston Villa are really suffering with the loss of Jack Grealish last year in the week, and they weren't great against Leeds all but their one goal. And to be fair, that's kind of understandable. They're suffering like everyone else with the fixture build-up. But Wolves are the same. Like, Wolves have just been so poor this year. They've been up and down across the league, and away from home, they're not great. They've only won one in the last 5 games away from home. So I'd lean towards Aston Villa as favourites for this game in terms of who's actually going to come out in the match betting. But this just seems like a game where there's going to be a scrappy 1-0 win or a 1-1 draw. It just doesn't seem like something that's going to excite despite Aston Villa's best efforts.
What are the odds?
Yeah, like his end of sentiments there. Villa 11-8, the draw 21-10, and Wolves 2-1. Just, I guess, for Villa fans like yourself, Jared, it's probably maybe a bit hard to be positive after losing Sheffield United. But Villa have had, I think, a remarkable defensive improvement this season. Emiliano Martinez's performance is a part of it, but Villa are just simply giving up a lot less chances than they were last season. Villa are 7th in expected goals against this season, which, if you compare that to last season, they finished 19th with nearly identical numbers to Norwich, who finished bottom of the league by distance. And that's a credit to, obviously, Tyrone Mings and Ezri Konsa, I think, who could also be in the England squad at the end of the month, and also defensive coach John Terry.
Yeah, I don't know how much credit Terry gets, but certainly he's going to take it. That's how it works. Villa against Wolves, that's Saturday. Let's move on to Brighton against Leicester. Brighton are sinking like a stone. 20% think Brighton are going to win this game. Leicester are at 80%. What's your love for the Leicester manager? What's the quotient at the moment, Enda? How much do you love him?
I think he's doing a pretty good job, Chair. You know, top three at the minute. Think they're probably going to finish in the top four.
Jealous.
Did a pretty good job.
Jealous X.
One thing that I do want to say about this, it has nothing to do with Brendan Rodgers, but he is bringing, apparently the news broke this morning that Odson Edouard from Celtic is going to go to Leicester for 15 million. And I just want to be on the record straight away. Odson Edouard is going to be one of the best strikers in the Premier League next year, if not the next couple of years. I said the same about Kieran Tierney, and he's absolutely flying for Arsenal. They're getting him for 15 million, which is an absolute steal. He scored 84 goals in the last 4 years in the Scottish League. He's only 23 years old. He's already played European football. So if you want to fancy a striker next year, if Leicester do sign Odson Edouard, he's going to be absolutely brilliant for Leicester.
And every single goal will be a little tiny arrow in your heart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
What are the prices for this one?
Yeah, so Brighton are 6-4, the draw 21-10, and Leicester 9-5. Yeah, just worth noting, I think last season, I think the main reason that Leicester missed out on top four were obviously United signing Bruno Fernandes, but also towards the end of the season, Ricardo Pereira, Ben Chilwell and James Maddison got injured and they couldn't replace them. I think we're possibly starting to see that happen again to Leicester, with Harvey Barnes getting a serious injury out for 6 months and James Maddison also absent. Rodgers tried to compensate for this by playing a 3-5-2 with Kelechi Iheanacho parching Jamie Vardy up front as they laboured to a 1-1 draw against Brighton. But as Enda mentioned with them signing Edouard, the reason they're signing Edouard is because Iheanacho really isn't good enough. And I think until Maddison returns, it'll be very hard for Leicester to score with regularity. And it becomes ever more likely they'll be, I think, pip for Champions League like last year.
OK, I'm not sure. I think that they've got a bit more stickability this year. Those injuries are obviously horrific for your chances. Let's move on. West Brom against Newcastle. Enda.
We don't want to spend too much time on this.
60% say Big Sam, 40% say Steve Bruce.
that is an interesting one because it's the clash of the boring English managers. And I think that maybe West Brom are showing a little bit more signs of coaching than Newcastle are at the minute. And training ground bust up apparently happened during the weekend in Newcastle with Matt Ritchie apparently allegedly calling Steve Bruce an absolute coward. So if that's actually true and there is discontent in the Newcastle camp, they're in bad enough form that could cause an absolute spiral in their form. And a spiral to Newcastle's form is pretty bad considering how bad their form is. So I actually fancy West Brom in this game. And considering West Brom are a team that are fighting for relegation, you might get a little bit of value in that.
Yeah, what is the price?
Yeah, so West Brom 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Newcastle 21-10. Just on kind of the Bruce kind of sacking issue, in the Premier League in the last 10 years, it would averaged over 10 managerial changes per season. I think we've only seen two this year. I think some of that probably is the financial restrictions due to COVID-19. But I think mainly it's because the fans in the stadium can make a manager's position untenable. And you can be sure if the Newcastle fans were in the stadium at the moment, they would be going absolutely berserk at Bruce staying in a job. So I think that's one of the only reasons he's clinging on. I think the injuries to Almiron and St. Maximin are absolutely massive. Newcastle have only four players who scored two league goals or more, and three of them are now absent, including Callum Wilson. Only two Newcastle players have three assists or more. Both are now absent. Newcastle are in real trouble.
St. Maximin could do some damage at a decent team next year.
Definitely.
If he's fit. Obviously, the fitness issues are something that are probably going to make a lot of teams anxious not to sign him because of that. So, but he's been a real bright spot any time he's played, and he's looked like he's always capable of beating a man. His end product has been decent as well. So, okay, I want to move on to Liverpool against Fulham. Again, Liverpool 82%, Fulham 18%. Liverpool's home record, just not very good at the moment. I don't know how anybody could have any confidence. The fact that they're playing Fulham, and Fulham obviously in the relegation zone, but there's been enough about Fulham, there's been enough about Scotty Parker, there's been a sense that actually he knows what he's doing, and I really hope that they decide, if they do go down, to give him another chance to come on back up, because he's earned it. This is one of those English managers who has actually shown some progression as the season has gone on. And I think they're going to get something from this game, Emmett.
I tend to agree with you, and I certainly couldn't be backing Liverpool, current price of 4-11. The draw is 15-4 and Fulham 7-1. I think Liverpool felt a bit broken watching them last night. And taking off Mo Salah with half an hour just seemed a pretty strange move, given he's the Premier League top scorer. And he's also quite a sensitive character, as you kind of saw earlier in the season when he was passed over for the captaincy and then kind of responded by flirting with Real Madrid in the Spanish newspaper. I think the only positive for Liverpool will be the return of Diogo Jota, as I think Roberto Firmino clearly isn't the creative hub of old. I think this reflects in a statistic called goal creation actions. Hopefully people's eyes aren't glazing over here. But just any contribution basically that leads to a goal, be it a dribble, pass or drawing a foul. Firmino has seen a 50% decline in that statistic from last year. And anyone who's watched him this season can see he's not the player of old. In terms of bet here, I think under 2.5 goals, better than evens looks fair, given Fulham's last seven matches have had two goals or less.
Yeah.
And we know all about Liverpool's issues in front of goal.
Under 2.5 goals, and your over 30 goals bet looks slightly ludicrous. Where are the 9 goals going to come from that you need in one of these games to make it up?
I'm hoping that there's just a 9-0 win somewhere along the road.
Perhaps in our next fixture. Let's move on. Manchester City versus Manchester United. Could it be a 9-0-er? 68% blue, 32% red. What's the record victory that Manchester City have had over Man United? Does anybody, any of you guys know?
The 6-1, the Balotelli, why always me, I presume.
Right, okay, 6-1.
That was a real heartbreaker of a result, that 6-1. That was like, holy shit, the Manchester United dominance over the league is completely just gone. That was a shock. I remember where I was when I watched that game.
This could be 0-0, because that's what happens to Manchester United when they play a good team these days, right?
Yeah, no.
Definitely, yeah. Sorry, go on, Endo.
No, go on, Emmett, you go first.
Yeah, so yeah, just the prices here. We've Man City 4-9, the draw 16-5, and Man United 11-2. The worrying thing for United is not only are they making kind of struggling against the bigger teams in big games, they're making the worst teams in the Premier League look competent. The betting markets would have, I think, Crystal Palace without Zaha and West Brom as the two worst teams in the league. And United have been fortunate not to lose to both of them and have lost an XG in both matches. This is in their last four games. And it's not surprising that those results have came without when Paul Pogba has been absent, as I think Bruno Fernandes' energy levels are starting to wane after playing a ridiculous 41 of United's 43 competitive matches. Oof. And badly needs
you
help.
You really need him for those Europa League away matches and the ties you've already won.
Real,
Absolutely exactly, important exactly. that he plays those matches. There's no, I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to lead you both down the path so easily. There's no way that there's going to be nil all. There's no way that Manchester City aren't going to actually try and go for this the way sometimes they have done in the past in these big games, particularly against Liverpool in recent seasons. They're surely going to try and rip the beating heart of Manchester United out and feast on it in front of their fans because they can. Right now, they can.
Yeah, 100%. I think as well. Just for United's defense.
Oh, the poor United fans, they're so worried.
Well, is it like it's tough to take for United that Liverpool got Van Dijk for 75 plus million, City got Diaz for around 60 odd million, and Man United have Harry Maguire, who's near borderline liability at this stage.
And all the rest of the people that they've signed who have been bad signings over the last decade or so. You can go all the way back to Memphis Depay and add a tally up the near billion that they've spent. Oh, we don't have any money. And you've spent about a billion and you're nowhere near the level of Manchester City at the moment. Enda, what do you think is going to happen? What are your worst fears when you're lying awake at night over the course of the last week and it's not Celtic that is on your mind, it's Manchester United, it's this game. What are you seeing? What are the visions?
Well, the fact that Man City, and we've spoken about Man City a lot over the last course of the year, the fact that they're now hammering teams again, like they hammered Liverpool, they hammered Wolves during the week, they're scoring goals, they're being absolutely ruthless now. That the worst case scenario is that they absolutely destroy United, which is a possibility, or United play 2-5 games and it does end 0-0. I'd rather watch an entertaining game than a 0-0. But just on these games, right? So because during last night was a bad performance from United, you have to give them that. Gary Neville said that the fans would absolutely not put up with the lack of sharpness. He said the same in the Liverpool-Chelsea game. He said the same in the United nil-all draw the week before in Chelsea. And maybe, to me, it's not the lack of fans and the lack of fans getting on the back of the players that's the problem. It's the amount of games that these players have actually have to put themselves through this year, not just United, across the board. How mentally and physically tired must these players be with the amount of games? Just looking at the injury lists this year so far, currently Southampton have 8 injured players, Crystal Palace have 9 injured players, Leicester have 8 injured players, Everton have 7, United have 6, Newcastle have 8. As Emmett alluded to there, Fernandes has played 41 games, Marcus Rashford has played 42, Harry Maguire has played almost every game as well for United. And before Christmas as well, look at everyone, Liverpool especially. Across the board before Christmas, there was a rise of 20% in injuries. 17% of them were spike in soft tissue muscle injuries. Before Christmas, there was 91 muscle injuries in the Premier League. We are looking and down the barrel at a situation where there could be actually potential lawsuits down here because of how we are expecting the players to play. And whatever about the fixture build-up in terms of just following the Premier League, trying to play multiple competitions when you do not need to play these competitions is absolutely ludicrous to me. What's the point of the League Cup this year? What's the point of the FA Cup this
trophies.
Year?
Trophies.
Just give the...
But, trophies but and money. Trophies and
is,
money.
What good is that to anybody except for the owners of the clubs? I think the players have been put through a lot this year, and I think down the line, we're going to look back at this as an absolutely stupid season for the amount of football that's
Jose Mourinho wins a trophy by beating Manchester City and stopping them from doing the quadruple at the first opportunity, then the Spurs fans are going to say it was absolutely worthwhile having that, and he's going to bang on about it forever and ever. You know that. So like I don't know about that, and I think that the increase in injuries you have to put down to the preseason not being long enough, and that was an idiotic decision. Even, they could have easily just
but that
the
makes
season.
It even more ludicrous though, Jared, because we've got a season where we've been playing more games over the course of the season, over a shorter period of time, without the same preseason that they've had before. We're
and
about
they could
to
have had
an international break for absolutely no reason.
They could
for
have had
a Nations League that makes no sense.
Ah, no, this is World Cup qualifiers.
They're not World Cup qualifiers. They're Nations League games. We need to start being honest with ourselves. Like, who wants to see an international? Give the players 2 weeks off instead of going to an international break. That's all they have to do.
All right, very quickly. So that game, Nathan Murphy and Kenny Cunningham making his much-awaited return from injury. Manchester City against Man United live on Off the Ball on Newstalk on Sunday. Let's horse through the last three games. Spurs against Crystal Palace, Enda?
Yeah, Spurs against Crystal Palace. Again, it's one of those games that's I'm looking at probably going to end quite low scoring. So I'm not sure why I went for the over.
I know, madness.
Better Power Special. But both teams to score in this game, in this fixture over the course of the last couple of years, both teams to score has only happened 24% of the time, Jer. So looking at both teams and their scoring records, I think that this is going to be a 1-0 or a low scoring win for Tottenham. And I think that's probably reflected in the odds, given how bad Crystal Palace have been recently.
All right. Next up, it's Chelsea against Everton. Oh, sorry, do you want to give us the odds there for that one, Emmett?
Yeah, briefly. Yeah, so Tottenham are 4-9, the draw 10-3, and Palace 6-1. Just to echo Enda's sentiments there. I think Tottenham to win to nil at 11-8, safe bet here. Palace haven't scored in four of their last five matches since Zaha has been absent, and that was against Brighton where they scored two goals from three shots. So I think between Kane, Son, and Gareth Bale, Spurs should have enough to edge this.
Okay, Chelsea against Everton is next on our list, and it's 66% of our Instagram polled said Chelsea were going to win, just 34%. For Everton, and I expect that's pretty close to where the odds are going to be for this win. Chelsea's form has been excellent. We did advise you to get on board the Tuchel bandwagon a couple of weeks ago here on the Paddy Power Half Hour. I hope you've all done that since. There was obviously the blip that weekend where they had a draw, but since then they've been doing quite well. You can see the impact that it has having an adult and a grown-up and somebody with his expertise and style of play is beginning to evolve and everybody's beginning to understand their roles. Everton have managed not to go off a cliff, and I kind of thought that at some point their performances were going to catch up with them because they were actually outperforming it. But Richarlison has come to the fore in recent weeks, and who knows, maybe he goes on a scoring run at this point and eases the burden somewhat on Dominic Calvert-Lewin. A couple of weeks ago I would have said this would be an easy victory for Chelsea. I think Chelsea will squeak it, and that's my take. What's the story, Emmett?
Yeah, so Chelsea are 1-2, the draw 3-1, and Everton are 5-1. I just felt it was worth highlighting the form of Mason Mount here. Before Thomas Tuchel arrived at Chelsea, I always felt Mount was overhyped. I lacked the creativity and skill of his contemporaries like Jack Grealish and Phil Foden. But watching him recently, I've been taken aback by how good his dribbling and touch have been between the lines. And he's now fourth in the Premier League in terms of key passes per game, with only Grealish, De Bruyne and Bruno Fernandes ahead of him. I think he'd also be worth a look to score first here at 15-2, especially if Jorginho doesn't start, as Mount will likely be on penalty duty.
All right, that is good information to have, and that is pretty impressive for somebody who was supposed to disappear whenever Frank Lampard did. West Ham against Leeds is the final game of the weekend. First, these are all Monday night games, obviously. West Ham 64%, Leeds 36%.
Very much stacked kind of to the back end of the Premier League for the good games. I think this will be a great game to watch, and West Ham were actually very good value for their 2-1 defeat to Man City last week. I did say that they were going to score, and ensuring they did. And, you know, like Jesse Lingard is actually bringing a little bit more of a dimension to West Ham. He just has that sort of eye for getting in the right places, getting in the right pockets, and players to pick him out now. So I think West Ham probably do edge this. And in terms of the bet for the weekend, I've already given it. I do think that West Ham will go and score a set piece against Leeds, because 12 goals set pieces scored for West Ham, 12 goals conceded from set pieces from Leeds. So I think this one will be a good game at least. Both teams to score might be a good shout as well.
All right. Okay, good stuff there. That is the end of those fixtures. It's time for us to talk about near miss. So we had this email in from Stephen O'Reilly listening in Drogheda. Sorry, it must have been a DM. If this is not a suitable sob story, I'm not sure what is. After listening to the Paddy Power Half Hour this week, I decided to open up a Paddy Power account. It's my first ever bet, apart from picking a nag in the Grand National about 30 years ago. My bet was on the four games in the Premier League on Saturday, and I bet €2 in each game and then €2 on an accumulator for them all. I got all the games correct, except for West Brom against Brighton. I had this for a draw. Brighton had umpteen chances to claw back a goal in that game, missed two penalties. Our own Aaron Connolly missed a great chance, and then Whistlegate, with Lee Mason giving a goal and then taking it back after a VAR review. I never thought I would be so invested in watching a game of football between these two teams. Anyway, I'm submitting this as a request for payout, and so we're going to pay that one out. I think that's fair enough, right? That is correct, yeah. So, but our next caller is on the line. I think we've got Graham.
Hey, how's things?
Graham, what's your story?
So last Saturday afternoon, I decided to put a fiver on a 21-team accumulator in every 3 p.m. game in the Championship and League One. Now, 20 of the 21 games had over 1.5 goals.
What was your bet? Sorry, that's the important bit. What was your actual bet at the start?
It was over 1.5 goals for every game in the Championship and every game in League One.
At the 3 o'clock kickoffs last Saturday?
Yeah, so there were 21 of those games.
21 games, everything over 1.5 goals, and you stuck a fiver on. What were the odds?
It was over 300 to 1. It would have been 1,500 and something back for the bet.
For a fiver bet? And you missed on one goal.
I missed on one game, and the one game that missed finished 1-0. I mean, had it been 0-0, it would have been easier to take.
Oh my God, Stephen, that's pretty bad. So I think our dodgy goals commission, we can definitely give you back your fiver. Can we do any better, Emmett?
We can do plenty better. I think we'd be happy to pay out the full 1500 here.
You just won 1500 quid.
No, we're a legend. Thanks a million.
That's a wild bet, Graham. Do you make that bet often?
I do it every now and again, to be honest, Jer. I mean, I wouldn't do it every weekend, but it's just a bit of fun watching all the goals go in. Now, I've never come as close as that, but yeah, happy days.
1,500 quid.
Legend.
Can't do any worse than that.
Thanks a million, man.
Come on, Graham.
Congrats, Graham.
There you go. See happy you. Friday.
Congratulations.
Bye bye.
So that's this week's near miss. That's not a bad way to start the weekend.
It's pretty decent, Jer. Pretty decent.
Our dodgy goals commission came up with a good one.
It's a pity the pubs aren't open though, Jer. Imagine the pubs are open. You immediately go and spend a couple of hundred of that at least.
That's a wild bet every single game to be over 1.5 goals and 301. Can you just imagine how devastated you are at the end of that? It's like, I mean, come on. Someone kick it in your own net.
I actually had one a couple of years ago, Jerry. It was 1,000 to 1, and I stuck a fiver on it, and it came down to the very last. 100 to 1. 1,000 to 1 would be crazy. It came down to the last minute winner sealed the deal for me. So I was sort of like Graham there, except I actually won.
Good story. And a near miss that actually was a near winner. Everybody loves an after timer. Go man.
Yeah.
And Emmett, good stuff. Thanks a million. That's this week's Paddy Power Half Hour. If you think you've got a near miss, then get in touch. We'll be out on social all weekend telling you how you can do it. You can do it on WhatsApp 0879 180 180, or you can DM us on Instagram or use the hashtag PPNearMiss. And you too, if we're feeling particularly benevolent, could have your near miss paid out. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. Enjoy the football. Good luck.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.